Let's just pray before we get started. Father God, this service belongs to you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we are gathered here today to hear from you. And so, Lord, I just ask that you give me utterance to speak forth the mystery of the gospel, that I do so with boldness and in the manner in which I ought. And I thank you, Lord, that you cause your word to rise up in the hearts of those who are here, that, Lord, there is something specific for each and every one of us today, and we're here to receive it. We have an expectation to receive all that you have. We want more of you, and we thank you, Lord, that you are ever present in this service, that this service, again, is your service. We are thankful to be a part of your service. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. I'm actually going to be ministering next, I don't know about Wednesday. Wednesday too? I think it's Wednesday and Sunday. So, you know, mark your calendars. but as far as this Sunday and probably next Sunday, we're going to be spending some time in Romans chapter 12. But before we go to Romans chapter 12, Pastor had talked a little bit about this even in our service earlier today, the School of Spirit. But I wanted to talk about what happens when you make Jesus your Lord. I'm not going to go into super detail here because most of us know this, but I like to not just assume everybody knows everything. And so when we are born into this world, we are born with a sinner spirit, so that's subject to Satan because of Adam's sin. So we know that Adam sinned in the garden, and as a result, as we're born, then of course we have that sinful nature as our nature. That's our spirit that's within us. Jesus, though, he came to redeem us from that sin by dying in our place on the cross and rising from the dead so that we, to take his place in heaven. And but the thing is that we have to choose, right? We can't just go through life assuming that we're okay. We have to choose to follow Jesus so that we can be redeemed from that curse of the sin that Adam brought, right? So when we do make that decision, when we make that decision for Christ, God takes that sinner spirit that is subject to Satan, he takes it out of us. And he puts into us then a new spirit, which is his spirit. The new spirit, his spirit, which only wants God's will. Our spirit, once we've made Jesus our Lord and Savior, is hooked up with God. It is God's spirit that's dwelling within us. In Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26 in the New Living Translation, Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27 in the New Living Translation, you know, the Holy Spirit is what dwells within us. That is God's Spirit. So when we refer to the Holy Spirit that's in us, that's God's Spirit in us. So in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26 in the New Living, it says, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations." So, God takes care of our spirit. That part he does for us, right? We can't do that on our own. We cannot gain that pure spirit on our own. It has to come through Jesus Christ, and it's God who replaces that old, stony, stubborn heart with a tender and responsive heart. And now let's go over into 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 in the Amplified Classic. And this says, "Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation altogether. The old, the previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come." Glory to God. So that is what it means once you have made Jesus your Lord and Savior. That's who you become, right? But we're a three-part being. We're not just our spirit. We are also our body and our soul. So our body is our physical flesh, right? Not just in the sense of the physical flesh, but also the desire, the lusts of the flesh, right? The things that our body desires and craves, right? So food and things like that. And then on sleep, this morning, craving sleep this morning, had a short night last night. So at any rate, so that's our flesh. And then we have our soul, which encompasses our mind, our thoughts, our emotions, all those sorts of things are our soul realm. So do we agree that we have a spirit, a body, and a soul. Those are our three parts. Well, God has taken care of the spirit side. But we still have work to do on our flesh, on our body, and in our soul. So once we've made that decision for Christ, then we know that that part of us is made new. We have a lot to do with our soul and our body, though, when it comes to coming in line. So we need to deal with those aspects, right? So let's go now to Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 in the New Living Translation. So Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And, you know, this reads, and especially verse 2, Romans 12, 1 and 2, New Living, in the second verse, and we won't go to it right now, but it's going to sound familiar. If you've been in many of these services, at least, you know, so often I talked about this on Saturday with the women at the last Women's Ladies Connection group that we had. We can get so ingrained into our minds certain translations and how it sounds that we skim right over. Yeah, I know what that means, and move on. But when we read it in a different translation sometimes, we see things maybe we didn't see before, or we hear it differently, it hits us differently. And so that's kind of what's happened here in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 for me. You know, I spend time reading the Word, you know, daily. I mean, there's times where it's not much in the day, but I do spend time reading daily. And so I try to just read a chapter, you know, I just go with a chapter at a time here and there. And I just kind of pick where I think the Lord wants me to go, and I'll read that section. And then I wanted to read all of chapter 12. And for like 3 weeks on a daily basis, I was stuck in verses 1 and 2. I couldn't get past it. I just kept finding more and more in it. And so some of that, that's why sometimes we use different translations, because we see things. Now, it doesn't mean God can't bring it to you in the original translations you're familiar with, but sometimes it's nice to read a different translation so you see things. It also causes you, I think, to go through it slowly. I find that I dissect things more when I go through a little slower. So this says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies." So now we're talking about the body. We've already given our spirits. We've already asked Jesus to be our Lord. Now he's saying, "I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you." So there's a reason why we should give our bodies. If you were looking for one, it's because of all he has done for us. "Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." If you've ever wondered how you can worship God, there it is, right there. Truly, the way to worship him is by surrendering your body to him as a living sacrifice. And so, and it says there, the kind that he will find acceptable. Sometimes we find things acceptable that God doesn't always find acceptable, right? There's things where we really think we're doing pretty good, and then it's like, yeah, that wasn't very good. You know, think about with Cain and Abel. You know, with Cain had, with Abel, he had given his sacrifice, right? And then Cain gave his. But one was considered acceptable unto God because one came from the heart and the other came from duty, so to speak. And so God didn't accept the sacrifice that wasn't from the heart. And so when we give of our bodies, it needs to come from the heart. It needs to be because we are so grateful to him for all that he has done for us, for all the things he is doing for us. And the thing is that there's not a whole lot we can give except of ourselves. God doesn't need us to give certain things. You know, I mean, you know, there's times where we give of our finances, of course. Those things he does need. He does need things like that. But additionally, he needs us to give of our time and of our bodies to him. Amen? So, our bodies. You know, it's hard sometimes to bring your body under. And your body wants things. As I talked about earlier, it wants to sleep. It wants to eat. As you can see, I indulge my body way more than I probably should. And so, you know, and it's interesting because we've been on a diet just since Wednesday. Since you saw me last, I've lost weight. Can you tell? Well, I weighed myself this morning. I either gained like 1.6 or lost 1.8. I don't know. Our floors in our house are not level. And so you got to move the scale around a little bit here and there. And so I don't know whether I've lost weight or not. but I'm convinced that I have. Now, I'm pretty sure, according to all the days and all, you know, I have to plug it into an algorithm, you know, to see, okay, yes, I have indeed lost weight. So where I started from, I'm now less than where I started by 1.8 pounds, almost two. I could say two and probably be okay because I could round up, but I won't. But this morning, I got a little nervous when I first set it on the floor, and I'm thinking, okay, that's not right. There's no way I've put on weight in this last 3 days. So I had to move it, and then as soon as I moved it just an inch, like one direction or the other, perfect. It read my true weight. So if you want to weigh less, let me know. I'm going to put an X in the floor for where the scale goes to tell. So at any rate, those things are natural things that we have to, you know, to bring under. That's how we need to reign in our flesh. But it's so much more than that. Surrendering your body to God is not just in those things. It is those things, but it's also going much further that you will go where he wants you to go. You will be where he wants you to be. You'll do what he wants you to do. And sometimes your body doesn't want to do those things. And so we have to rein in. When I talk about rein, I'm talking about like two ways. Number one, like a horse, when you're reining them in, whoa, like that, you know? And so there's times where you have to do that, but also reining as in I control. My body comes under my authority. And so in doing so, that's the other side of reigning. So that word actually works both ways. And oddly enough, it has the same spelling. So that works out pretty well. The American language, you just never know for sure. The English language, you never know for sure. But in that case, it does. So now think of yourself this way. Jesus is the head, right? We've talked about that. He is the head. We collectively are the body. And we all are parts in that body. And we're not going to go through this today. We'll probably get there next week. We'll see. But we'll talk more about being the body and what our parts and so forth are. But number one, we are Christ's body in the earth. He was here. He did what he was supposed to do. He went to heaven, and he became the head. That makes us the body, and we are subject to the head. And if we do not reign in our bodies, we will not be subject to the head. And so, yeah, I don't know, we've talked about this, I think, before. I don't remember if I shared this here or somewhere else, but have you ever seen someone who has, like, Parkinson's disease? And so they'll have tremors. There's shakes, you know. And I don't know, some of you probably seen, what's his name? Michael J. Fox. Did I share this during the ladies' thing? Michael J. Fox, he has shakes. And I saw him do a speech not all that long ago, and he was talking about, how wonderful his wife was and all these things. And, you know, just, I think he said his wife had written the speech. So she praised herself a lot in it, you know. But anyway, he was shaking, his hand would shake, and he would do this. And then he would have to put his hand on it to stop it. His hand was doing its own thing. It was not it was not wanting to conform to what he wanted it to do, so he'd have to use the other hand to steady it, right? And so think about how Jesus has something for us to do, and we're off doing our own thing, you know, and we're over here shaking around doing our own thing, and he's trying to get us to get in line and do what he wants us to do his will, right? So we have got to bring ourselves under the authority of the head, and Jesus is the head. And so that is going to mean sometimes going outside your comfort zone. It's going to mean sometimes being places where you have never been before. It's probably going to cause you to tread in new places and new waters and new territories. And glory to God, there's probably going to be a lot of blessing there when you do. So let's move on. Do we feel like we understand what we're supposed to do with our bodies, right? In verse 2, let's go on into verse 2, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Glory to God. So now we've understood what we're supposed to do with our body. Our spirits already want to do God's will. That's already taken care of. The spirit is doing that. We've brought our body under submission. Now we have to deal with our soul. with our mind, with our thoughts, with our emotions, our intentions. All those things come from that place. We might be able to bring our body under and make it do certain things, but it's harder than you might realize to change your thought life. It's a whole lot harder, it seems, to bring yourself under God's way of thinking. And because we've thought the way the world thought all along. That scripture in a different translation says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what that translates to. That's that familiar verse you probably have all heard. Sounds a whole lot different in this, doesn't it? It says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God's will is always to your betterment. God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts in the way that they're always better than your thoughts. But we have got to bring that into submission again to the head. It's not just our body that is under Christ, it's also our soul. And so in order to do the will of God, we're going to have to know the will of God. And the way we know the will of God is by renewing our minds to His thoughts, to His ways, to His plans. So, the world is full of people that have been conformed to the evil that's here. Here's the thing. If you are not thinking God's ways, you're thinking somebody else's ways. You know, it would be nice to think, there's just no gray area. It'd be nice to think that we had a mind of our own. But in truth, if we're not living according to God's will, we're living according to the world's will. Who runs the world? Who is the one who is king of this world, the prince of this world? It's the enemy. And so when we are allowing our minds to have its way with us, then it means that we are going along with the enemy. And you know, I'll go there in a second. So a mind that's not surrendered to God can be easily conformed to the ways of the world, even if they are a Christian and have the Spirit dwelling within them. There are so many Christians out there who have made a decision for Christ. They want to follow Christ, but they don't do anything further. And so their bodies and their minds are still subject to the world. And, you know, there are, like I said, there's only two ways to live here. And what happens in your spirit, you know, again, we're a three-part being. So if we're a three-part being, you can consider us the temple, right? The Lord is living and dwelling within us, that we are the temple of God. There's scripture that backs that up. That's what we are. What happens when you are at odds with yourself, within yourself? If you have the Spirit telling you one thing and you're doing something else with your body and your mind, or even you've got maybe your body kind of under control, but your mind is still going crazy on its own. If those things are out of whack, then what are we? We're a house divided. And what happens to a house that's divided? Go over to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 12. Sorry, chapter 12 and verse 25. Put it up in the New King James, Kylie. Matthew 12, 25 in the New King James. So if our spirit wants to do one thing and we don't bring ourselves under to that desire, to His desire, then we're not in unity with Him, and we ourselves are not in unity. And He said, Matthew 12, 25. But Jesus knew their thoughts, and He said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. You are a house divided against yourself when your spirit is wanting one thing and the other parts of your body are wanting to do something else, whether it's their own way or whatever it is. You're a house divided. There, you are opening the door for so much havoc in your life. Have you seen the commercials? Is it help me, babe? Is it Mayhem? You know what I'm talking about? Nationwide, or I don't know. It's one of the progressive Allstate. Thank you. Allstate commercials, they have the guy who's Mayhem, and he's in the car, you know, he's trying to get them to divert their attention away. You know, that's what this is. It's like, it's mayhem in your life. It's something always pestering you, getting in your way, and trying to get you to do their thing. you know, and try to run your life off the rails, so to speak. And you see, you know, he's doing all kinds of things all the time. They're really cute commercials, and they do change them up. It's not one of those that you see the same one over and over and over again. You're like, I'm tired of this. Yeah, no, this one's pretty good. So if you watch those, but think of it that way. You know, when we are divided against ourselves, if we are not following the will of God, which is the Spirit that dwells within us, then we're divided, and it's going to open the door for the enemy to do all kinds of things in our lives. It's going to wreak havoc in our health. It's going to wreak havoc in our finances. It's going to wreak havoc in our family situations. It's going to wreak havoc in the peace that we have within our households. It's going to wreak havoc in every area of your life because you are not united with Christ. When you are united with Christ, body, soul, and spirit, you are going to live in a far better place. You're not going to be moved or shaken by the things around you. Those things that are of the world are not going to affect you. But you have to be living that way in order to keep yourself from being subject to the enemy, subject to the world. So, eventually, being in opposition to your spirit will cause destruction and ruin in your life. It's imperative that we bring our bodies and our souls under the submission of our spirits that are led by God. He's never going to lead you astray. He's never going to take you down a pathway that you won't find tremendous blessing. It's always going to be good. That's why it says the perfect will of God. Now, there are several reasons. It seems like a lot to say, well, I'm just going to surrender everything. I don't get anything I want. You know, I just got to do whatever God wants. That's it. You know, I don't have any fun in life. I mean, that's what people think. The thing is there's a lot of fun that comes with being completely in the will of God. I'm so thankful. I can see and I can tell you of a specific point in my life where I brought myself under and turned off my own will and said, I want your will. The thing is I've only done it in certain parts of my life. I mean, I'm continuing to be a work in progress, but there are certain times where I might do that in one area of my life and not in another area of my life. It's very easy to do that, to want control over certain areas of your life but not in other areas because you've seen all the destruction that's happened. You know, I've been in marriages before Pastor Earl. I don't know if you know that. I've been very forthcoming. Those children of mine are not his. And when they do something wrong, he'll be the first to tell you that they're not his. But the thing is that, you know, I have had difficulties in my life because I was the one making the decision according to my wants, my desires, and my will. They were not God's will. And so it wasn't until I came to that point where I said, Lord, I can't do this. It's apparent. I am failing at this in every direction when it comes to relationship. I wanted to be married. I wanted to be in a godly marriage. I wanted to be in a marriage that my children would have an example set before them. And so I knew if I was going to keep choosing them, it wasn't going to happen. And so I had to just go before him and surrender that aspect of my life completely to him. And look what I have as a result. I cannot tell you how grateful and thankful I am that I made that decision back then because of where I'm at now. There is no way I would be here in this place had it not been for that decision. That quality decision to change who I was, where I was going, on my own will and follow his will. Now, again, that was one area of my life. There's been a whole lot of areas since then I've had to surrender since then too. And I'm so thankful each and every time. And I remind myself of those things as I'm fighting for control over things. You know, there's certain areas of my life that I haven't yet surrendered fully, and I will have to remind myself, remember when you did this? And look at how well that turned out. Remember when you surrendered here? Look what you have now because of that. And so that serves as a reminder to me, bring yourself under. Submit yourself fully to him. And when you do, you're going to have so much better, so much more. Let's go on. We're going to run out of time. So there are several reasons. Number one, not just so you can get the good things, but additionally, because of what he's done for you. This is truly the way to worship him, to give all of yourself. When we make Jesus our Lord, we have to make him our Lord. Not, and Pastor talked about that this morning too. It's more than just desiring, you know, it can't be, because we are the body of Christ, we can't be parts that don't work, you know, because that's not effective in the world. If we truly want to increase the kingdom of God, we have to be the hands and the feet and the eyes and the ears and all the things in the body of Christ. Not just, you know, there were times where I said I was the earrings in the body of Christ. And they look good. You know, they're pretty, and they sparkle, and they shine. But they're useless. You know, they're not an integral part of making the body function, right? It just looks good. And a lot of times that's what we are. We may have made decisions. We may come to church. We may be in services. We may be filling a seat. We may be a greeter. We might be serving in some of the areas. But if we're not truly living for God, we're nothing more than the purse on the arm of the body of Christ. You know, not terribly functional when it comes to the body itself and getting the work of the Lord done. You know, the earrings, the fingernail polish, those things are all unnecessary accessories. And I'm not saying that it's unnecessary. You just have to be more. We have to really be the body of Christ. And it's time to be the body of Christ. Okay, don't tell people that I said I'm the earrings on the body of Christ. I don't want to have Jesus have any earrings. Some people may have a problem with that. I get it. The thing is imagine a world where all those who have made a decision for Christ truly became the body of Christ. They truly became the feet, the hands, the arms, the legs, the ears, the eyes, the smell of God in the earth. Imagine, Earl, tell me how many people are claim to be Christians in the body of Christ or in this world? Around a billion people. Imagine if we had a billion people who were truly living for God, who were truly sold out for Jesus. Think of what we could accomplish if we really became the hands and the feet and the thoughts, and our thoughts lined up with His thoughts, and our wills lined up with His will, and our desires lined up with His desires. What impact we could make. We're here for one purpose. We are here for one purpose, and that is to increase the kingdom of God. We're not here to go to our kids' sports activities. We're not here to play golf on Sundays. We're not here to watch football, you know, whatever. Those things are extra, and we love doing them, and those are wonderful. But if they're interfering with our plan, or God's plan, if we're interfering with God's plan for our lives, our purpose for being here, then they're in excess. Then they're too much. Then we shouldn't be doing them. We need to turn those things off. If we're spending more time doing other things that are not propelling the kingdom of God forward, then we need to lay them down. And we need to bring ourselves back. It doesn't mean you can't pick those things up back, you know, and you know, have them once again. But, you know, pastors talked about things he's had to lay down. We've all had things where God has dealt with us. You need to shut that off. You need to shut that off and focus on me, because you're not doing what I need you to do. And if we start doing the will of God in every way and going and seeing the right people and being in the places we're supposed to be and doing the things we're supposed to be doing, imagine what God could do in the earth. You know, so many things probably wouldn't be happening right now. So many things that we are going through in this world may not have been happening had we really been the hands and feet of Jesus all along. Had we really been following the will of God in every way, if every Christian had stood up, I'm not saying it's each of our faults individually. I'm not saying, well, if Miss Betty had just done her part, we wouldn't have this abortion thing going on in our country. You know, it's not like that. But we are all a part of the body, and we have to be doing our part. And when we are, and everybody's doing it, we can accomplish so much and probably keep a whole lot of evil out of our world. Because we have authority over the enemy. And he should be, every time the church comes together, he should be scared. He should be thinking, well, I'm not getting anything accomplished today. But instead, he's like, you may have their spirits, but I got their hands and their feet. I have their thoughts. That's what he's thinking. He's thinking, you can have their spirits right now. I've got them doing my work. They're doing what I want out here. They're passing abortion laws, gun laws, and, you know, raising taxes, and, you know, whatever it is. We have got to take our place. If not now, then when? I'm not going to tell you like Max did a couple weeks ago. Pastor Max told you had to get up at 3:30 in the morning and pray or read your Bible. I'm not going to tell you that, because I'm not doing that. There's times, last night I was almost up until then. So Miss B said there's times, or no, it wasn't you, it was Debbie Miller, I think, said, you know, there's times where he said he's getting up at 3:30 to pray. I haven't gone to bed yet. And so, you know, it's not about that. It's about making him a priority for whenever it is that you get up. It's about spending time with Him and making Him the priority above all else. And when you do that, that's where the blessing is. He had used that scripture that in Ephesians chapter 5, and you don't have to put this up. It's the scripture that it says, "Awake, O sleep, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light." When he said that, and I was making notes, when he said that part about rise up from the dead, the Lord said, that means rising up away from the world. The world is the dead part. That's the part that's dead. That belongs to the enemy. And we have gotten to the point where we're living in it so thick, it's up to our eyeballs. We got to rise up out of it. If we don't start rising up out of the world, we're not going to see anything accomplished for God. Have you ever, I think sometimes as Christians, we find ourselves, some of you probably have had these where you've worked in a corporate industry and they have annual reviews, you know, and so they'll do your review and you have like exceeds expectations, meets expectations, needs improvement, you know, all the things. Fire her, you know, whatever that one is. Promote her at the top, you know, whatever they are. But you know what I'm saying? They have those. I think so many of us are in this place where we're simply meeting the expectation. We're doing the very least amount possible. You know, we come to church, we serve, we might, you know, pray before our meals. We might, you know, we've made Jesus our Lord, so that, you know, we've made a decision for Christ. Actually, if we're not walking in complete hooked up to his will, I don't know that we have made him our Lord. We've made him our Savior, which means that we'll get to go to heaven on rapture day or on you know, when we pass. But beyond that, there's nothing more. We have just simply met the expectation. We have got to be people who hook up with the will of God and exceed the expectations. And that's something that, as the body of Christ, we're never going to get accomplished what he has. And we're just delaying the rapture as a result, too. I do believe that we have got to have revival within ourselves. We talked about that in prayer this last week. And that is where, you know, we can get people saved. And that is going to bring that return of Christ so much quicker. Okay, in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And Kylie, you can just leave this in the New King James if you want. I'm going to read it out of a different translation. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 4. When we are turned on and reining in our minds and our body, there's blessing there. And that then we're being obedient to God. We're going to do his will. We're going to act the way that he wants us to act. We're going to say the things he wants us to say. Jesus, when he was here, how many times did he say, "I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only do what the Father says to do." Everything that he said, everything that he did was in line with God's will, and that we are to be imitators of Jesus. He was our example. So, as a result, in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1, it says, and this is the easy translation. I send these scriptures a lot of times to our grandsons on school mornings so that they see these when they get up in the morning before going to school. And so I have it on my phone, easy translation, because it's easier for them. Today I am giving you the commands of the Lord your God. You must be careful to obey all of them completely, and if you do that, he will make you greater than any other nation of people in the world. If you obey the Lord your God, he will bless you in very many ways. God will bless you in your cities and in your fields. He will bless your children and the crops that you grow. Your cows and your sheep will have many babies. God will bless you with lots of grain to make bread. God will bless you in the homes and when you go inside and outside. When your enemies attack you, the Lord will knock them down. They will come from one direction to attack you, but they will run away from you in several different directions. Seven different directions. The Lord will bless you with lots of food to store. He will bless all the work that you do. He will bless you very much in the land that he has given you. The Lord will continue to help you as his special people, as he has promised to do. But you must obey his commands. You must live in a way that pleases him. If you want to, or if you do that, everyone in the world will see that you belong to the Lord, and they will respect you with fear. The Lord will give you many children. Your animals will have many babies. Your fields will give you lots of food. The Lord will do this in the land that he has promised your ancestors that he would give you. And the Lord, verse 12, and the Lord will send rain from the clouds where he stores it. He will cause the rain to fall at the time when the land needs it. He will bless all the work that you do. You will lend money to the people of many nations, but you will not need anyone to lend money to you. Verse 13, the Lord will make you the leaders of other people. You will not have to follow at the back. You will become more powerful, not weaker, but you must obey the commands of the Lord your God. I am telling you this today. You must be very careful to do that. You must continue to obey all the commands that I am giving you today. Verse 14, do not turn away from them to do anything else. Do not worship any other gods. How many times do you say you must command the command, or you must obey the commands of God? If we are not body, spirit, and soul hooked up with Jesus, we're not going to obey his commands. We're going to want to do our own thing. We're going to want to do what our flesh wants. We're going to want to do what our emotions tell us to do. We're going to want to do all those things that are not God's will and not his command. And as a result, we'll open ourselves up to so much, to the other side of this chapter, which is not good. Those are the curses for not being obedient. Now, of course, a lot of this was talking about the commands in the law. However, we're under new covenant, and all we have to do is obey God, love him above all else, and love others. And the thing of it is that if we are not hooking up our entire body, soul, and spirit to be a part of his will, then we are not truly loving God. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, this is easy. I'm sure you know this. In the New Living Translation, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you'll be sure to obey everything in it. Only, I'm not putting that in there, it says it right there. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Success and prosperity comes from bringing your body and your soul under to the will of God and following the Spirit. Now, when I wrote that down one day, when Pastor, I think, used it in Scripture and I was writing it down, he said it to me this way, study this book of instruction and spend time in my presence day and night. You will then obey all that I say, and oh, how you will prosper and succeed in every single part of this life. And he said that to me in that way. Spend time in my word and in my presence, day and night. That doesn't mean that we have our faces right here all the time, or our faces planted in the carpet in our bedroom praying all the time. It just means don't leave him behind as you go about your day. Don't, you know, he told me one time that I come into prayer like a machine gun, and I just shoot off everything that I want, and then everything I'm praying for, everything that I need, and then I just get up and walk out of the room and shut the door, and that's the end of it. I don't listen for him to give me any responses. I don't listen for any encouragement from him. I don't listen for anything to come from him. I just spout off all my needs and leave it. And he said, you need to spend time with me. And when you spend time with me, you'll get the answers. You'll get solutions to the things that you're dealing with. You're going to find ways to help others. You're going to do these things. But you've got to stop just coming in, firing away. Because what happens is that I might do that in the morning, and then later on in the day, oh, I need him for something. I go back in there. It's like I open the door up again, and I fire away again. And then I shut that door and walk away again. And that's not a relationship with God. That is just me, you know, going to, like my dad, and begging. Do you remember when you were a kid and, you know, you would get an answer no from mom, or go ask your dad? You go, please, daddy, please. That's what it's like. That's what we do when we just bring our needs before God and then just walk away. You know, we're just begging and pleading for something. He doesn't even have time to respond. So we've got to spend more time with him. He desires to be taken with us everywhere we go. It doesn't mean that we walk around talking out loud to him. People look at us like we're crazy, you know. So I do that sometimes in the grocery store. I'll be walking around and I might be praying about something. You know, sometimes we spend more time praying for a close parking spot than we do actually about coming across someone or meeting someone or doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. I'm not saying you don't pray for a close parking spot. Do that, whatever. But don't stop there, you know. You're there for a purpose too. We're here for a purpose. So we have to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Our lives are not just all about us. In fact, they're not at all about us. They're about God. We have to keep it in mind, many Christians and unbelievers are hurting and dealing with financial issues, struggling with family members, suffering from physical ailments, and God wants to help them through you. He wants to help those people through me. If we are not listening and not tuned in and not doing and being the hands and feet of Jesus, other people are suffering, and they suffer continually, needlessly, when we were maybe sent to be a part of their walk and their coming to know Christ. Amen? We're going to close here. I had more, but we'll just stop there. Glory to God. Now, if you are here today, we'll pick up some of this later, next week, but if you're here today and you have not made Jesus your Lord, if you have not surrendered your life to Him, this is your time. Glory to God. Let's pray this morning. Bow your heads, close your eyes, and if you haven't made that decision, you can raise your hand and we'll take care of it. If you're watching online, you can raise your hand right there. Think of it as reaching your hand to Jesus. That's what raising your hand does. That's reaching out to Jesus. And if you've raised your hand, then you could, I want everybody to repeat this prayer after me. But this will take care of it. Father God, I come to you right now as a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, to make me right with you, so that I can have eternal life with you. I make Jesus my Lord and my Savior. I thank you for giving me life, for making me righteous. I commit my life to you, spirit, body, and soul. I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Glory. Now, if you made that decision, whether online or in the room, let us know, because, you know, we like to celebrate a new birth in Christ. Amen. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week.